times that you might not know about me. And the reason you might not know them is because I try to keep much of my past quiet because I don't want to boast about it. My mother didn't even know I was alive at this time, but that's myself, having won the World Cup with England in 1966. A couple of years later, I moved into the field of science. And here I'm returning with a few friends after a trip to the moon. Now, those who know me kind of mock me for my musical, I was going to say ability, my musical inability. But I actually had three friends who helped me a little bit along the way. And this is walking across the street in Liverpool. Now, in order not to boast, I'm going to skip a fair few years. And I also want to tell you there are some things that you like to do, and there's some things that you don't like to do, but for the sake of the public good, you think you should. And that's just one of them. So, most of these are obviously about my professional life, but my friend who actually collated these photographs threw one in, which was a surprise to us, and it was about my personal life. Now, I'm having what I thought was my second midlife crisis. Tracy tells me it's my third. It's cycling. And this is me just a few years back, having won the Tour de France. I then moved into the film industry. This is one role you may have seen me in. And here I am with an after party with a few friends of mine. Now, the reality is that those are utterly and absolutely ridiculous claims for which there is no substantial evidence. And when I put those up, you all laughed. And yet we come and we celebrate Palm Sunday and we forget actually what the story of Palm Sunday is. And it goes something like this, that a carpenter from Nazareth, who up to 3 years before nobody had ever heard of, heralded himself and was applauded as king. Not just of a small parochial corner of the Holy Roman Empire, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we are to take seriously that claim, there needs to be evidence in order to support it. Otherwise, we might as well just believe that once upon a time, I walked upon the moon. Now, 2,000 years ago, we find that Israel was occupied by the Romans, and many people were calling out, they were crying out for freedom. And so the Jewish people, they got the Bibles and they reminded themselves that once upon a time God had brought them out of captivity in Egypt. That once upon a time God had brought them out of exile from Babylon. And they realized that there were maybe 400 prophecies, predictions, that one day God would send a rescuer. He would send a redeemer, a Messiah, the Christ, the one who would come and save them, literally salvage them from the situation in which they found themselves. And some people said that they found him. Some people said it was this carpenter from Nazareth who had been born amid scandal. It was this one who had spent his formative years as a refugee on the open road. It was the one who had stepped out in that synagogue and said that these prophecies, these predictions spoken 600 years ago apply to me. Some said it was this Jesus who would gather enormous crowds and teach them about the kingdom of God, who had compassion on all who were brought before him and healed their sicknesses and their diseases, the one who even raised the dead. And as that clip showed us, some people thought that Jesus was wonderful. But some thought he was less wonderful. Because Jesus didn't do things the way that they wanted them to be done. Jesus, I nearly said, did things his way. But actually, accurately speaking, Jesus did things God's way. He only did what he saw his Father doing. He was a man literally on a mission sent from God. Now, whenever we get together as a family, and maybe it's like this with your family, with your friends, there's always a subject, there's always a topic of conversation. It might be politics. It might be entertainment. It might be sport. But there's something that everybody wants to discuss. And I think 2,000 years ago, it was Jesus. And the question that people were asking was, will he or won't he? Will he stay away? Because if he comes to Jerusalem at Passover, then surely these people who hate him, who are opposed to him, surely they will use this as an opportunity to kill him. So will he stay away or won't he? And as they were discussing, as they were debating, Jesus was actually preparing his own arrival. I find this fascinating. If you were to go into a city and you wanted people to recognize you as someone who was king, how would you choose to travel? Maybe like that in a presidential cavalcade. Maybe you would want to enter on a red carpet. Or maybe these are just 21st century pictures. Maybe 2,000 years ago, you'd want to come in like Ben-Hur. Maybe you'd want four white stallions leading you on your chariot. It's staggering how Jesus chose to enter. Because he didn't go for the big statement. He went for the donkey. And I love the fact that Jesus sent his friends in to this village and say that here you will find a donkey with its colt. Bring them to me. If I was to encourage you to do that, it would be called what? Theft. And yet Jesus said, and if anyone asks, simply tell them that the Lord needs them. He assumed the right because he recognized his lordship. He recognized and was trying to communicate his own authority. And he also knew that these people who were searching these Old Testament scriptures, where there were 400 prophecies, predictions about him, knew the words of Zechariah the prophet. And Zechariah says this, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey." I love that word, yet. He is righteous, he is victorious, therefore how will he enter? Yet he comes humble and gentle, riding on a donkey. As I read that this morning, I was reminded of that lovely song that we sing that comes from Revelation. And there we find that there's no one worthy to open the annals of history. And yet John hears that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed, and he says, "And then I turned and I saw a lamb that was slain." These aren't contradictory pictures. These are complementary pictures of our Jesus. The one who is victorious. The one who is righteous. Yet this morning comes to you and comes to me gentle in humility. He comes to us not on a charger but on a donkey because he comes in peace. Have you ever noticed that the donkey didn't argue? Have you ever noticed that? I've had some bad experiences trying to ride horses in the past. I've not gone near donkeys. But if we to know one thing about donkeys, we know they're stupid. But even this stupid donkey knew who sat astride him. It was the King of Kings. It was the Lord of Lords. There was no argument. Scripture says that our God, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He assumed the right. The one who stilled the storm with his voice rode in on a donkey that had never been ridden. And I want you to imagine the scene a minute. I want you to imagine that Jesus is travelling from the east, and those with him are processing, those with him are celebrating, those with him are not quiet. Those with him are making a noise. And there's those in the city and they're having the discussion, will he or won't he? And they know that something's kicking off outside the city walls. So they go and they discover this Jesus, the victorious one, the righteous one, coming, as the prophet said, humble upon a donkey. And they join the procession. And what do? They actually do two things. The first thing they do is they shout. They're not quiet. They shout because they've got something to celebrate. What do they shout? Hosanna! Rescue us! They recognize this Jesus to be whom? The rescuer, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that God has sent. They know the situation. They know the predicament in which they find themselves. They know that they cannot do it, but only God himself can salvage them from their situation. And what else do? Not only do they shout, but they start to cut down palm branches and they lay them on the floor and they start to wave them as the psalmist said that they would. Speak to Jerry. Jerry will tell you afterwards that actually at Passover, this particular Jewish feast, Jews didn't cut down palm branches. They did that at another feast called Tabernacles when they expected the Messiah to come. It would be, I guess, like us waving Christmas trees at Easter. It would look a little bit odd, but when we go deeper, we realise that what they're doing is they're stepping aside from the ritual. And they're moving into the prophetic. They're recognising that God himself has come to save. That God himself has come to salvage. I want you to imagine the scene. Those who were with him processed. Those in the city went out to see what was happening and came in with them. This is a map of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to suggest that they came in on the east through the Golden Gate. The night before, Jesus was anointed by a sinful woman at a place called Bethany, just 2 miles away. And I want you to imagine where the Jewish people thought that Jesus would now go. What did they think he would do? What did they want him to do? They wanted him to kick out the Romans. They wanted political revolution. Jesus, when he came through the Golden Gate, didn't take a swing to the right. He didn't go to the fortress. He didn't go to the Romans. He turned left and headed to the temple. You see, Jesus himself is making a statement that this kingdom isn't like our kingdoms. It's a kingdom that's not of this world. It's a kingdom by which the Lord Jesus wants to come and deal with the heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. It's that resistance that we have, that even the donkey got, which means we need to submit to him and to honour him. Before we finish, and it's not always this brief if you visited, before we finish, I just want to introduce you to this man. This is Alan V. Evans. In January this year, Alan V. Evans from Wheat Ridge, Colorado, he took out a full-page advert in the Times newspaper. And you know what he was claiming? He was claiming to be the rightful king of England. Let me tell you that there is no possibility that Alan V. Evans' portrait will ever appear on a £5 note. It's not going to happen. He's obviously got the means to put the ad in the paper, but the claim is a ludicrous claim. It's without substance. It's without evidence. But when Jesus entered into Jerusalem and went not right but left to the temple, the crowds asked, "Who is this?" And the answer was, "This is Jesus." And Jesus, through the evidence of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, fulfilled over 330 of those Old Testament prophecies and predictions. Prophecies that told us where he would be born, how he would spend his childhood. Now, of course, Jesus himself deliberately fulfilled a prophecy by riding into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey. But would he have gone to the length to fulfill the prophecy that tells us how he would die? And could it determine when he would die and that he himself would be raised? Now, those who do some sums know that 400 prophecy less 330 leaves us with a total of 70. And those weren't overlooked. Because the king who rode into Jerusalem in that procession 2,000 years ago is the one who, after his death and resurrection, praise God, Ephesians tells us, led captivity captive. It's the same one who one day will come with angels and archangels and leave heaven and earth in procession in order that together we will eternally celebrate the one who was and is and evermore shall be. And I want to encourage you therefore this Easter to read the story afresh and to see new insights and new glimpses of glory. Why? Because the king who came is our king. The king who rode in on the back of a donkey is the one who will return and judge the living and the dead. And he's not just the king of others. Praise God. He's my king and he's your king. He's the everlasting king. They ask the question, "Who is this?" And the answer was, "This is Jesus." And so old and young, this Easter, let's celebrate together this Jesus. Amen. Kids.